Good evening. I want to first thank everyone who made it a priority to come out on this afternoon and continue to worship God in spirit and in truth. We want to welcome any visitors that we may have here in our midst. We do note that you could have gone anywhere else, but you chose to be here with us, and we are certainly glad to have you here with us. I also want to thank the leadership that we have here for giving me this opportunity, as well as other men who are able to stand before you and speak a kind word on behalf of Jesus. And we do not take this duty that we have in a light way or a light form or a light fashion. It is a very serious thing for the man of God to stand before God's people and to present the word to you, knowing first of all that I'll be held accountable for each and everything that comes out of my mouth. But it is my prayer that those things that I do say is able to help someone in some form or fashion. Maybe it'll allow you to be in a better situation than you were before you came in on this evening. If you could turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, and verse 16, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. And it's this particular verse that a well-known brother who is sometimes in our midst, I had a conversation with him about another conversation that he had with someone, and he imparted some truths to this individual. And these particular truths that he imparted to this individual had to do with this gentleman's fiancée that he planned to marry. And he was asked a question, and he gave those truths in a direct and bold way. And I would dare to say that maybe some of those things that he shared were not quite favorable. So as he imparted these truths, he noticed that the man's face began to contort and change. And after the conversation was done, he uttered these words: "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Galatians 4 and verse 16. So the reason why I have you turn here today is because there are going to be some things that I will be sharing with you on today. And it is not to offend or to incite negative feelings on behalf of anyone. However, it is to share something with you that I believe that we as a congregation and, you know, a group of God's people can try to get better at. From the time that God formed Adam from the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, which allowed Adam to become a living soul, and that's in Genesis chapter 2, mankind has managed to fall further and further away from the image that God created. The sickness of sin constantly besets us as we try to run this race to get to heaven, and yet some of us are more easily beset by sin than others. Why is this so? I will submit to you that this is because of a lack of education in some instances, a lack of understanding in other instances, and a lack of consideration that can be traced back to one source within each one of us, and that source being our heart. When your heart is not right, things can never be right with your soul. And if you recall, Brother Ronnie, he spoke eloquently on that, and he and I had the opportunity to go to Hawthorne to participate in a gospel meeting, and that was on that day the topic, if it was well with your soul. And in some scripture reference for when we're considering education, Psalms 119 and verse 11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." How many of us have hidden the word of God in our hearts? Psalms 51 and verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Are we educated about that? Do we really know what God wants and expects of us, or are we simply trying to give him what we desire for him to have? As it relates to understanding, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Jeremiah 32 and 27 says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? How many of us understand that we serve a God that nothing is too hard for him to take care of? That would serve us well to keep that in mind, especially in those desperate times when we're there by ourselves and no one can seem to help us out. How many of us are aware of that? James 1, verses 5 through 6, If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. How many of us, when we approach God in a doubting fashion? We approach God with the expectation that he's going to tell us no. Your prayers will not be answered if you approach God in that way. That's something that we need to be educated about, some things that we need to know. As far as consideration, Isaiah 29 and verse 10, 29:13, and that reads, Therefore the Lord said, Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9 says, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Many of us can understand the phrase that talk is cheap. And a lot of us love to profess that we love God. We love him so much. And some of these annoying individuals, you ask them how they're doing, oh, blessed and highly favored. That seems to be the common slogan and theme. But the reason I laid that foundation with you is because I wanted to put something before you, some scriptures that you can, in your quiet time, go back and review those things and try to see where you measure up. What do you have in your arsenal of understanding? What do you have as it relates to being able to walk this Christian walk in a spiritual and correct manner before the Almighty God? And all of this sets the foundation to what I want to discuss with you on today. See, each first day of the week, we are supposed to gather here to worship God in spirit and in truth. The times of these gatherings have been established by the elders here to be at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:30 a.m. for morning worship, and 5:00 p.m. for evening worship. The frequency and familiarity of our surroundings in some cases can reduce our gathering as being ordinary or just another ritual that we perform on Sunday. It is from this thought process I've asked myself a simple but sometimes tough question. Why am I here? Why are you here? Is the answer consistent and the same every first day of the week? Or is it changed or shaped by the things that have happened during the week that has passed? Maybe it's being shaped by something that happened before we arrived at the building. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. 1 John 1 and 9 says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are all great reasons that make sense for us to come and assemble ourselves with the saints so that we can encourage one another to abide in Christ. Christ being the true vine and not just to abide in Christ, but also to bear fruit. For John 15 and verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Then there are times when we don't know which way is up or which way is down. We've been misused and abused by the world, and we just want to get away. There is no safer place to be than with the Lord. There is no better friend than Jesus, a master who washed his own disciples' feet and hung on a tree to save a world of sinners that hated him. Romans 5, 7 through 9 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We as the body of Christ, who is the chief cornerstone that was rejected, have been given a chance to take the gospel to the world and to love one another so that the world will know whom we belong to. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. John 13, 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. The goal has not changed. We all should be trying to make heaven our home. We should all be doing God's will to the best of our ability. We should not be accepting failure as an option and being mediocre followers of Christ. When we fail to be our best and do our best, ultimately Christ takes the hit. God the Father takes the hit. The Holy Spirit takes the hit. And we become instruments that are used by Satan to try and compromise the church here on earth. It is easy to recognize the enemies on the outside who are trying to tear us apart. They stand up and shake the defiant fist in the face of God. They say things like, God does not exist. God made me this way. Any church will do. The Bible is just a fairy tale. Marriage is not only between a man and a woman. But these are situations and circumstances that as Christians we should be willing and able to stand up and speak out against. Have you been making your voice heard about these issues in the circles that you travel in? Or is this acceptable to you? The people are making a mockery of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And if that wasn't bad enough, there are those within our own ranks who have no interest in going to heaven or have yet to resolve that they want to make heaven their home. Meanwhile, we are losing those who once fought valiantly, being here when the doors are open, being plugged in and putting their hands to the plow, and now they're slowly but surely fading away. Has anybody noticed them? Has anybody reached out to them? Why are you here today? Our primary goal on the first day of the week is to worship God in spirit and in truth. When we worship God in the way that he requires us to, then everything else can be taken care of the right way. We're able to encourage and uplift one another. We can have a meaningful fellowship that brings us closer to each other. Part of being able to get to heaven and worshiping God as he requires is being able to identify those individuals who have a different agenda. These individuals are not interested in making heaven their home. Maybe you have seen or noticed them. Sometimes they may drift in and out of the congregation. Now, having said that and trying to set a foundation for you, let me start by saying this. Arlington Road Church of Christ does not belong to me. The Arlington Road Church of Christ does not belong to the eldership. The Arlington Road Church of Christ belongs to Christ. But when I abide in Christ, Arlington Road Church of Christ abides in me. And in doing so, I have a personal stake in the things that go on here at the Arlington Road Church of Christ. When things go wrong and when things aren't as they should be, if you abide in Christ and the Arlington Road Church of Christ abides in you, then you should be moved to try to take some type of action to make things better. You should be moved to try to seek out those who aren't in place and not doing the things that they are supposed to do. But why aren't we having those conversations? Is it on face value that when we show up and we shake hands, it appears all well from the outside, but we don't even know each other well enough to even ask a personal question? Brothers and sisters, it shouldn't be that way. And then there's those conversations that get had. Maybe you've had them in your circles, because I know I've had them in mine. Make no mistake about it. People see those individuals who once walked amongst the saints here, and maybe they disappeared for an extended period of time, and somehow they floated back through, and you wonder, how long are they going to be here? What is the purpose of them being here? And then it's not too long before it's announced that brother or sister so-and-so needs help moving to their new place. The reason I say that is to say I don't own the Arlington Road Church of Christ. But what type of brother or what type of sister would I be to, when those individuals come in, to have a need met and then disappear, not to say anything to them, not to reach out to see, are they aware of where the state of their soul is? You know, people have different motivations of how they want to do things and why they go about doing different things. And I don't know anybody's heart, but God knows their heart. And there are those who are trying to pull us as a congregation off task by the heinous things that they do, the conversations that they have, and we don't stand up to them. Why is that? It should not be that way. And if we really care about what is going on here at Arlington Road Church of Christ, we are not only going to be plugged in, we are not only going to be about our Father's business, but we are going to seek out those who need to be sought. We're going to do our best to assist those who need assistance. Whether you know it or not, the elders can't be in all places at all times doing all things. But these are the men who said, I will be held accountable for the things that even I can't see. Let's keep that in mind. Let's do what we can to help them out to further the cause of Christ. And the reason I'm bringing up these things and individuals and these conversations that get had is because they're counterproductive. For example, I know that even though I wasn't able to be here this morning, I'm sure it may or may not have been a packed house. And I'm fine with that. But with that being said, I show up here and I embrace whoever comes, because whoever comes in the evening wants to be here. Whoever comes in the evening has said, there are two opportunities that I get to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. And when I say an opportunity for us to get better, I've kind of been concerned about whether in the evening have some of us been taking some time off? Have we failed to try to continue to give God our best? Do we use the evening as a time to, you know, dress down and get ready for Monday? Monday's not here yet. Amen. It is still the first day of the week. And the things that I'm sharing with you and the things that I'm saying to you are things that I myself have been guilty of as well. But it should not be that way. If we are going to be the people of God, and if we are going to say that the first day of the week matters, then Sunday is just as important. Sunday morning is just as important as Sunday evening. Are we willing to make that commitment? Are we willing to, when we see our brothers and sisters maybe not making that commitment, are we willing to ask the question, how can I be of service to you? Is something on your mind? Is there something that I can do to help you out? But like I said, I don't own this congregation, and that's why I wanted to start where I started off with in Galatians 4 and verse 16, because I know there'll be some who will take this message and say, oh, he was talking about so and so. Well, the reality is this: I'm not talking about anybody in particular. However, God knows who needs this message. God knows who is doing what. And he will get the message to where it needs to go. But again, I ask, why are we afraid to ask the tough questions? If you turn to 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 for me. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. And the Bible reads, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So this confusion is not coming from God. This stirring of the pot, so to speak, is not coming from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is coming from Satan himself. And to ask the question, will a man rob God? We know a man will. And I would even go further to say, not only will a man rob God once, but twice on Sunday, if the congregation meets twice. Because some people have that agenda to show up to rob God. Rob God of his time. Rob God of the talents that he had given to them. Rob God of trying to take away the joy that a congregation can have. Don't be that brother or sister who shows up and when people see you, they walk the other way. Don't be that brother or sister to see, you know, someone's child struggling and not go to the parents to let them know what's happening. Don't be that person. Be the person who says, hey, brother so-and-so, hey, sister so-and-so. It's not that I'm trying to get in your business, but there's some vital information that I think you should know. And I want to share this with you. See, if we are abiding in Christ, Christ abides in us. The Arlington Road Church of Christ abiding in us. There should be no conversations that we can't have. Amen. In particular and especially the tough conversations. Those are the ones that sometimes matter the most. If you look around here, there are people who have stepped up and they have put their nose to the grindstone, and maybe they're going through something right now. I don't know. All I know is sometimes I look around where they used to sit, I don't see them. They pop in, they pop out. Maybe I'm not in the circle that you're in with them, but are you going to them? No, let's do what is within us to do to make sure that we as a congregation and a unified body that belongs to Jesus Christ is putting our best foot forward to get to heaven. And then if we do that, let it be said that if anybody does not make it to heaven through this congregation, it's because you just did not want to go. But it wasn't because you didn't have a body of believers in the trenches with you trying to get everybody there. Amen. Let's do what we can do for the cause of Christ. So having said that, if you have not done what you need to do, maybe you've fallen behind. Maybe your life is not what it should be outside of the doors. And that's another thing when I talked about the education, understanding, consideration. We need to have that understanding about who God is, how he works, the things that he does outside of the building. Because then when we can get our house right away from the building, we can come in and make sure God's house is right. As to the best of our ability, make sure that it's right. But if you've done that and strayed away, please be prepared to come forward. Don't be afraid. There's no shame in the gospel. There's no shame in Jesus. There should be no shame in you. If you have not obeyed that form of doctrine, the gospel which is able to save your soul, meaning the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. All you have to do is hear that, say that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you believe that, you can repent of your sins, turn away from the life and path you were currently on. You can confess that Christ is the Son of God, and you can step forward and be baptized today. The water is ready. Amen. Don't leave here in the same condition that you came in if that condition is not right with God. Please stand forward as we stand, sing the invitational song.
Just as I am with.